Brian with the Chronicle Telegram to join us on the local beat. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on Broad Street here in Elyria, right across from the hospital. Vandermark Jewelers is a trusted name in jewelry. And trust me when I tell you, when you stop by in that showroom and you have a wonderful experience, you will see why. Stop by and see them. You can also visit them online at VandermarkJewelers.com. Dave, always terrific to have you on the show. How are you today?
Good to be here, Bull. It's a nice warm day, and hopefully things are looking up.
Well, let's hope so, because some stories I'm sure you have fun writing and others not so much. And in an article that was in the Chronicle Telegram this morning, you put the details together on a really tough one, on a shooting in Lorain yesterday. Unfortunately, it involves a two-year-old that passed away. And as you mentioned in the story, this appears to be a targeted attack. Dave, what happened here?
So from what we know right now, that on Sunday, there was a shooting at the victim's house in the 1900 block of West 21st Street near Reeves Avenue in Lorain, on the west side. And Lorain police are basically saying this is not a random attack, that somebody targeted this family or was looking for somebody. And unfortunately, the shots that were fired struck and killed a two-year-old girl, Camila Patterson, which is just terrible, horrible news. And it's really awful. And that's one of those things that we absolutely hate to report on. But unfortunately, that's what happened, and somebody's responsible, and the Lorain police are on it, trying to find out who that is. Two other people were wounded: a 62-year-old woman and a 20-year-old man, who were also present at the scene. And cops are investigating and playing their cards real close on this one. So we don't have a heck of a lot of information. We're continuing to work on that today. To see if we can get some more information, from the police department, and also, reaching out to the family and see if there's anything that the community can do to support them in this really difficult time in their lives.
And as you mentioned, still kind of waiting to hear about some more information. Now, unfortunately, with the two-year-old that passed, there were also a couple of others that were affected in some way, shape, or form by this shooting as well. And has there been any other information released on the others that were hit in this incident as well?
Not too much there, Bull. They are not listed as currently as patients at the hospital. And sometimes that's a situation where, again, this is a little bit of inside baseball, journalism knowledge. But for some folks out there who might not know how that works, not at all times are people who are in the hospital, willing to say, hey, put my name on the patient rolls, or for their own safety and security. Sometimes their names will be kept off the rolls for the public's sake. So when journalists call, or when somebody else calls and says, hey, is so-and-so in the hospital, basically they'll say, hey, I don't have any patients by that name, or I can't tell you. So we don't know their conditions right now. It was expressed to me by a law enforcement officer that it's possible that they've been released at this point, but I just quite honestly, I don't know. But we'll continue to follow up on that and see what more information we can get out to the public. To support the family at this time.
What kinds of information or details are available, or have they released, about a suspect or potential suspects?
Well, this is a kind of a strange situation as well, because there was a high speed chase through Bay Village, neighboring us to the neighboring Lorain County here to the east. Somebody was taken into custody. We don't know anything about that person. Only the kind of car that they were in. It was a red car. It might have been a Toyota. Lorain Police Captain, Roger Watkins, who heads the Detective Bureau, oversees the Detective Bureau, said that he couldn't confirm or deny that had anything to do with the shooting. There have been some other media reports that it did, and that there was a suspect in custody. But until I have that official from Lorain Police, I really can't, really can't speculate on that. So we're again kind of waiting on what the police are willing to release at this point. And I'll be in contact with them after I finish the show, and we'll see what more they might have to say.
Yes, certainly. Story still unfolding, and it seems like there could be a couple of extra layers to that as well, and that'll be something we certainly circle back around to when we have you on again next week. And speaking of a story that's ongoing, and it feels like it's been ongoing now for 6 or 7 years, and in reality, I guess it's been about 4 or 5 months now. Dave, you've been tracking the Lorain County COVID-19 cases and some of the responses from some public officials. Dave, based on some of the things that you've heard and some of the people you've talked to, how do some of the people feel around here and some of the public officials feel about where we are currently with this pandemic and where some of those numbers are trending?
Well, you know, we had a pretty stunning headline the other day. I thought that basically was just in the red. Lorain County is pushed into a level 3 public health emergency. Masks are now mandatory in public, starting as of July 10th at 6 p.m. Lorain County is one of a number of counties in the state of Ohio that has mandatory masking. Some of the city mayors, Mayor Brian Jensen and Avon weighed in the other day and basically said, please just do this for the health and safety of the rest of the public, for other people in the community. It's a very difficult situation. And we have seen an uptick in the number of, especially 20 to 40 year olds, rather young people who have started to test positive for cases of COVID-19. That's the fastest growing kind of sector of the infection. Maybe not taking it as seriously, starting to go back out to bars or restaurants, not wearing masks, getting together, in small or sometimes large groups. Put-in Bay had a big problem with this, a couple weeks ago, where people showed up to party, and there was a big party, and there was unfortunately a guy there who said, "Oh, hey, this isn't too bad," and then he ended up passing away within a couple days of returning home, from COVID-19, and it's really concerning to go out there and say, I understand from a perspective of some people who say, "Hey, look, this is against my, this is just forcing me to do something I don't want to do." But at the same time, there's a lot of people out there who are saying, well, mask it or casket, pick one, put on a mask or end up in a funeral home. God forbid you end up on a ventilator. I personally, I don't talk a lot about personal stuff with you guys, but I personally had some friends who have gone through this. And the two of them who were my age, one was a nurse out in Las Vegas, and she had, she had it, and it affected her for about a month. I mean, she's having trouble breathing. Another friend just came and, and posted something online and said, look, I had it. I had it in late March. I tested positive, and she's got to go back to the doctor to figure out if she's had some, reversible or irreversible damage to her digestive system, to her GI tract. From a lack of oxygen, not being able to get up stairs without being short of breath. There are a lot of young people who are facing off against this now. And unfortunately, it could cause potentially lifetime, concerns about your health. So I think we're also seeing, nursing homes maybe getting a little bit back to normal, allowing some visitation in hospitals. But this is not over. I've run into people who've said, oh, this will be all done by August, mark my words. And well, it's nearly August, folks. That's 2 weeks away. And it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. And it would just be, my personal opinion, please just wear a mask, just take the right precautions. Professionally, we're going to continue asking questions about whether this is the proper, way to go about this. But I know that, I work in a county and I live in a county that both have mask requirements right now. And I'm just going to take it on the word of the health professionals out there that maybe that's a really good idea. Just as a precaution.
Certainly seems like an easy step to take. No doubt about that. Again, Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram joins us on the Local Beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. All right, Dave, round one of Phillips versus Hung, the election lawsuit in court. It took place last week. What were some of your major takeaways in round one of this? Is this also seems to be one of those stories that's been around for a while?
So for a little bit of background for those who may not remember, Gerald Phillips, an attorney from Avon Lake, ran in the Republican primary to try to become a county commissioner. He ran against North Original City Councilwoman Michelle Hung, also a Republican, as you know, obviously. And she defeated him in the election, and Mr. Phillips then promptly sued to say, hey, you know, I think this is an illegal election. I think the state unconstitutionally shut down and change the date of the primary. That's the job of the legislature and not the governor. I think the governor DeWine has taken some illogical and improper steps. The governor's office has declined to comment so far. But basically, Mr. Phillips had his time in court the other day and said, hey, you know, I think that, you know, we need to impeach, you know, Governor DeWine and remove him from office. And, you know, the Board of Elections failed to do their job, and so they're a defendant, you know. And, you know, Ms. Hung's attorney said basically that you know, his client was the certified winner of the election, and at the end of a recount that Mr. Phillips requested and paid for, and he's just basically looking for a do-over because he thinks the voters were prevented from casting their votes properly. But even if, you know, the 3,000 voters that Mr. Phillips claimed were disenfranchised cast their votes, it's unlikely that Mr. Phillips would get enough votes to change the outcome of the election. And that's the argument on you know, Ms. Hung's side. So this is something that Judge Mark Batleski in the Lorain County Common Pleas Court is going to continue hearing. There's a telephone conference tomorrow. Whether or not anything's going to actually happen at that conference, not sure at this point, but we'll continue to follow that as it makes its way through the court, and we'll see if it gets resolved by November in the general election.
Certainly another story that seems like it's still unfolding as we speak. Well, Dave, that brings us to this week's scanner stories. And boy, were there some interesting ones over the last 6 days.
Well, I'm gonna give you two here real quick because I feel like our fine listeners and readers deserve it. Here's one that was shared by my friend and colleague, Holly Zachariah of the Columbus Dispatch. Overheard on the scanner, woman said her boyfriend was stabbed in the head with a fork. And also from my buddy out in Colorado, Mitchell Byers, at the Boulder Daily Camera, scanner for the win, a couple of people sunbathing in the nude on the south side of the park, please wear a mask.
Gee. Well, you don't want that goofy tan line on your face, right?
I mean,
and for whatever reason, I guess this is trending on Twitter now. Apparently it is National Nude Day. But this took place a couple days ago, right?
Oh, honestly, I should have been on top of that and gotten some content for our listeners out there. I was not aware.
Well, between people basking in the nude and not wearing masks and forks sticking out of someone's head, I think we've had enough weirdness with our scanner stories for the day. Dave, we always appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll catch up again next week.
Happy to be here, Bo, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Dave. Again, that's Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram. Joining us on the Local Beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. See Jim and Bob and the whole gang down at Vandermark Jewelers. They're on Broad Street, right across from the hospital here in Elyria.